You've tuned to the Turley Frequency, starring your host, Kevin Turley, with guest stars Mike Romano and Reed Hodges, and special guest stars, the members of the FCC, whom we respect respectfully. Now, time to get tuned into The Frequency. Call the show at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Or text us at 251-928-2111. And now we cross live to the Archangel Radio Studios in downtown Fairhope to at last feel the Turley Frequency.
Welcome to this week's Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Today on the show, we meet Catholic convert and hip-hop musician, Shevin McCulloch, who is also the co-founder of a resource for Catholic schools called Studio 316. He's also the company's writer, lead talent and producer. So we speak with Shevin in the next segment. Top of the hour, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you are invited to join us. Feel free to text me through your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. Finally today, we welcome Gerard Gisi. He's the Senior VP of Global Distribution for Angel Studios. They're the people behind the hit movie that Hollywood tried to bury, namely Sound of Freedom. Okay, with all this good stuff, let's get this show on the road. Hello and welcome back to the Turley Frequency for another action-packed week of the Holy Spirit. We don't know where we're going to go, what we're going to do, where we're all going to end up by Friday, but just buckle up. We'll end up somewhere together. It's good to have your company. On this Monday in the month of July, in this month specially dedicated to the precious blood. I keep saying we're going to talk about the precious blood, and we will. We'll talk more and more about that wonderful devotion, which is sadly neglected and is yet so central to our Catholic faith. Today we're talking media, though, especially movies. We're talking the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I just wish we were talking about Clint Eastwood and Eli Wallach and all the characters that used to parade across the cinema screens, where good was good, bad was bad, men were men, and women were always in distress. Or thereabouts, except in musicals. So the world has changed, and I was looking this morning at the top three films at the US box office, and they will come as no surprise to you what those movies are. It'll come as no surprise because it's very hard to hear about any other movies at the moment. And the reason is that with the strike that's now taking place, there aren't going to be any other movies for quite a while. Yes, there are some movies that have been in storage for a while, and they will eventually find their way out. But I'm talking about Barbie. Yep, Barbie. Oppenheimer. Yep, Oppenheimer. And surprise, surprise, Sound of Freedom. Yes, the film we mentioned just at the very start of the show today. All three films are very much making waves and doing very, very well for very different reasons. So the good news straight out is that Sound of Freedom has added roughly another $25 million to its haul. Box office haul. So initially, we were looking at just shy of $100 million last week. Do you remember we talked about this? Well, it had a bumper weekend. It had a great weekend when the box office was superb. It increased the number of theaters that are taking the movie, which is unheard of, right? This is about its third weekend playing in movie theaters across the United States. Now, if you look at the other films that were released roughly around the same time, say Indiana Jones, they have a large drop in audience each week. And this is perfectly normal, right? Cinema movies, they tend to hit the screens, hit the audiences, and then it's word of mouth. And word of mouth either kills a movie or is your best form of marketing. So what's happening with this movie? Well, it's quite obvious what's happening with this movie. People are going to see it in their droves. Just to give you a little idea of how well this movie's doing. Do you remember we talked about Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, which I think is the seventh version of Mission Impossible? Now, we shouldn't complain too much because we play their theme music at the start of the show. So if anybody from Mission Impossible's listening, we love you, really, sort of. But anyway, seven sequels, to my mind and ears, starts to sound like somebody's run out of ideas somewhere in the world of Hollywood. But anyway, what's really interesting is looking at how it's performed at the U.S. box office, because Sound of Freedom was number three, and I'll talk about one and two in a moment, but Sound of Freedom's coming in at number three. Now, Sound of Freedom has no right to be in the top 20 in the American box office, the top 50 of the American box office. Why? Nothing to do with its Christian, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a small independent movie that cost about $14 to $15 million to make. Those type of movies, they often, it's a stretch to get their basic budget back. And if they make a few dollars on the side, everybody's happy. What they don't do is go into the top 20 lists, top 10 lists, and certainly not the top five. Now, as you know, on the 4th of July when it was released, Sound of Freedom went straight to the top. It nudged Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny off its pedestal. Now, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, we talked about last week, it's not doing very well, and it's a Disney film. It's doing very, very badly. Disney are going to have to take a huge hit with that movie. Do you remember we talked about that last week? And remember, we also said The Sound of Freedom was the movie that Disney tried to bury. It stuck it in cold storage and hoped nobody would notice. That's until the producers got together and said, no, we're not having this. And they started crowdfunding to get it out. And we'll talk all about the mechanics of that later in the show, because I have one of the people from Angel Studios coming up in the final segment. And it's going to be a fascinating discussion in how cinema like Sound of Freedom, is not just about movies. It's about money, but it's also about culture. And I'm afraid to say a lot of politics as well. But that's coming up in the final segment. Stay tuned. So Mission Impossible is number four. Mission Impossible number 27 or whatever it is number four. Last weekend, it made $19.5 million at the box office, which was a drop of 64.3% on its audience the weekend before. Its total gross at the moment is $118,753,469.20. Okay, I made the 20 cents up, but the rest is accurate. Sound of Freedom in number three. Get this, right? Sound of Freedom's gross for the weekend was $20,140,647. So it outperformed Mission Impossible by about $600,000. Its audience drop was only 26%. Remember, Mission Impossible was 64%. Indiana Jones was 45% drop. Mission Impossible dropped six cinemas. Sound of Freedom went up 20. 20 movie theaters were showing it. 20 more movie theaters. This is unheard of, right? But the really sweet spot is Sound of Freedom's total gross is nearly $125 million, which is a good $6 or $7 million over Mission Impossible. Total gross. Now, if you think of the millions that was thrown at Mission Impossible. I mean, what Sound of Freedom cost, which is roughly, as I say, between 14 and 15 million, it probably wouldn't have covered the catering bill on Mission Impossible. Probably not. It's very hungry work doing all those special effects and all that running around and jumping out of helicopters or whatever they're doing in Mission Impossible these days. So that's the good news. That's the good bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly of last weekend. Now, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you now, because I don't know which is the ugliest and which is the worst of the next two contenders. Now, a movie like Barbie, I know it may come as a surprise, but I'm not really the demographic that it's aimed at. You know, give me a choice between a John Wayne movie and Barbie. I think you know which way I'll go. I hope you do. Otherwise, you've been listening to the wrong show for the last few months. But listen, I haven't seen it. I'm never going to see it. Sorry. Even if the good folks at the National Catholic Register said to me, can you review it and just say what you saw? I would say, look, life's too short. Life's too short. One of the reasons I gave up reviewing movies was because of that. I just got so bored with it. There's only so many bad movies you can go to. There's only so many publicists who phone you up after you've been to it where you say, well, and you can feel the mixture of anger, bemusement, and disappointment that comes down the end of the telephone. Anyway, let's have a listen to somebody who knows, who did watch it for us. He suffered whatever the 2 hours or whatever Barbie has. I mean, how can you make a movie about a doll? That's the other thing. I don't get it, right? I mean, what next? Action Man? Is there an Action Man movie? Maybe there is. Maybe there's an Action Man movie out there. I don't know. But let's find out what one reviewer thought about the latest Barbie movie, because suddenly it moved from the ridiculous to the slightly sinister. Well, more than slightly. Take a listen to Movie Guide's founder, Dr. Ted Bauer, who had this to say.
DNA and everything else says that I'm a man.
You follow the science, Dr. Bauer.
I figured out how to be a man.
And my sorry, wife is, Reed, you know, could we take it back to the start on that? Sorry, I think that was. So we're just going to play that. That's where Dr. Bauer ended up saying that he was a man, which when you hear the rest of it, the bit that comes before this, you'll understand why he's probably, he was throwing his arms up in the air at the prospect of this movie.
Okay, ready now, Kevin?
Okay, Reed, let's listen to Dr. Bauer.
So Dr. Bauer, a lot of people out there, they might be wondering about this Barbie movie. They're seeing the advertisements, the trailer, and they're thinking, huh, should I take my daughter to see this movie? You have an article over at Movie Guide, the organization. You have an article there that it's titled, Warning, Don't Take Your Daughter to Barbie. And so what was it that led to that determination?
Well, frankly, we saw the movie on Sunday night. And the movie is worse than you could possibly expect. It's hardcore propaganda. We're not allowed to release a review until 2 days before, so they have it embargoed. So we see a lot of movies early. We write the reviews, and then we wait. So that's part of life in the big city of Hollywood. But Barbie just is terrible. The first few minutes, it's got a bunch of little girls playing with little baby dolls. Now, I've got 17 grandchildren, and the most of them are little girls, and they love playing with baby dolls. And the girls take the baby dolls and bash them and slap them, and we don't have to be mothers anymore. In Barbie Land, men are the problem with all of society. It's hardcore feminist. So they banished men so they have a better life. In fact, Ken is the villain in the movie. And Barbie has to leave because she's not adapting to, you know, this hate of the patriarchal society, although she hates Ken. So men are the villain, and trans, you know, there are a couple of trans people playing characters, Barbies. So, you know, men play better Barbies than women play Barbies, by the way. So you should tell your little girls that if you want to be Barbie, you want to be a swimmer, you want to be anything else in society, men can be women better. That's what the movie's saying. So the doctor in the movie, Dr. Barbie, is a trans, and he was quoted in his interview of saying that this movie is candy with a little bit of poison. And other member, the other trans person, said this is going to finish the gender conversation forever, because all the little kids who see it are going to realize that you don't have to be women to be women, if they are women, which is really weird to me because I'm, you know, 77 years old. So
thank you, Reed. I mean, this sounds terrible. Or is it me? You know, anyway, you have been warned. All you mothers out there who your daughters are pleading with you to take you to Barbie, you have been warned. Sounds awful.
Kevin, I've seen a small clip from the movie. Certainly have not seen the whole thing, so I won't speak on the entire film. But the beginning where he was talking about little girls kind of just throwing off the baby dolls, they actually have like some ceramic dolls and they like smash them into the ground and everything. So, you know, not really a angelic image.
No. Well, anyway, listen, I don't think you or me are going to be going to see Barbie, okay? So it's more, but $155 million it made at the box office at the weekend. That's $155 million US dollars that are going back to make this sort of movie, reaffirming the message of Hollywood that this type of movie for young children is a good idea. Really? I mean, you heard about Snow White last week with its odd-shaped dwarfs and all the rest, but that's nothing. That pales into insignificance compared to what this is. Remember, the worst sort of poison, speak to a doctor, the worst sort of poison is that which is hidden in good, wholesome food. So that's Barbie. Barbie was number one. Number two was Oppenheimer. Now, Oppenheimer, where do I start? Oppenheimer, again, not a movie that I'm going to sort of run to the cinemas to watch. So we've got a choice between, forget about Sound of Freedom for a moment, most U.S. cities, you're going to have a choice between a Barbie doll with everything you've just heard Dr. Bauer describe, a Barbie doll, right, for 2 hours, or the story of the atom bomb with Oppenheimer and the mass destruction of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. I mean, is it just me? I mean, spoiler alert, okay? Spoiler alert. But don't we know how the movie Oppenheimer ends? As I say, spoiler alert. But I mean, what, two, 3 hours of that? Waiting for that? What does this tell us about the United States today? I'll tell you what it tells you. It tells you that there's a large proportion of the population which are that lost the plot and prepared to pay $155 million to watch a doll prance around on screen. You've got another group of society that are very happy to pay $80 million to watch a bomb go off. And then you've got a really sensible crowd who are willing to keep Sound of Freedom at the very top of the box office list, much to the chagrin of those in Hollywood who wondered, who are these Sound of Freedom guys? Yeah, so there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, we know what the good is. I'll let you decide which is the ugliest and which is the worst between Barbie and Oppenheimer. Maybe they'll make a sequel. Maybe they can combine both, where Barbie and Oppenheimer work together to make a cultural atom bomb, which totally destroys all the men in the world. Okay. When we come back, we're moving gears and we're going to be talking about something much more interesting and much more funny. We're going to be meeting a man who's reaching out to young people through hip hop. Yeah, I know. Stay tuned to the Turning Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
Mm-hmm.
back to the Charlie Frequency here live and exclusive this Monday morning here on Archangel Radio. It is so good to have your company. I hope your Monday morning is going well, or as well as it can be. It is Monday after all. And at the very least, we can all offer it up. It is a Catholic radio show, so we're used to offering things up, and Monday mornings is often something to be offered up. I don't know about you, but it's always a gear shift, isn't it, from Sunday to Monday? But we'll talk about that maybe a bit later in the show, because my next guest is going to cast away those Monday morning blues. I'm absolutely certain of that. I watched a video of him earlier today and was very interested and very intrigued about who he is and what his mission is. So before we meet our guest, I'm just going to play you some of this. Take a listen to this.
Hi, I'm Shevin, and I have a lot of questions.
What is a sacrament?
Are you kidding me?
What?
Huh?
Darren!
That's enough.
Seems like every time I hear a new scripture reading, there's something about it I just don't understand.
Noah didn't build the Ark of the Covenant?
Nahi, naha, nahi, ma, mia.
Awesome is in the Bible.
Feels like I'm spinning in circles.
Elijah and Elisha weren't brothers? Not getting it. Thankfully, I got this really cool music studio, and I'm surrounded by a lot of amazing people. They help me figure things out.
Whether it's a piece of advice or a nugget of wisdom,
in the end, they help me understand how Scripture applies to us today. Yes! I believe adults can teach kids, and that kids can teach adults. And this is what happens at Studio 316.
Okay, so listen, if that doesn't wet your whistle, I don't know what will. It certainly intrigued me. That was the voice of Shevin McCulloch, who it would be safe to say is a man on a mission. He helped found Studio 316, which is out there helping guide Catholic school students into a deeper, more personal relationship with Christ through the Gospels. But he is about to go one stage further. Alongside Father Bob Gallier, he will be performing the original song, Emmanuel Forever, live at this year's World Youth Day in Lisbon, Portugal. Performing in front of millions makes this interview a piece of cake for Shevin, who joins me down the line this morning. Shevin McCulloch, welcome to the Charlie Frequency.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Shevin, there's so much energy just in that little video clip that we played there. You know, I mean, are you always so up?
Oh, man, we should do a three-way call and call in my wife. She would probably validate that. It's one of those things where it's just really try to be joyful and thankful and try to take that joy and that gratitude and deliver it in each little aspect and component of your life. So, yeah, I try to be like lighthearted in general, but serious when it comes to helping these kids realize why the Bible is the living word of God and not this perception of it being like an outdated history book. So,
absolutely. No, I mean, it definitely shines through. And everything I've looked at to do with Studio 316 and anything to do with you, there's this kind of atomic charged positive energy, you know, coming straight from the Gospels. Yeah. And it's wonderful, especially on a Monday morning on this show. We need all the help we can get, Shevin. So
I hear you.
Listen, talk to me about Studio 316. This is a relatively recent endeavor. You started it with Rob Reynolds, I think. So talk to me. How does something like this come into being?
Okay, so what Studio 316? It's a supplemental resource that we're offering for Catholic school religion classes to show how the Gospels relate and apply to our lives today. So every one of our lessons is rooted in the Gospels, and every lesson applies to everyday life. We just rolled this out this past August, and it's already being experienced in over 40 dioceses. Thanks be to God. So it's engaging, it's relevant, it's Catholic. We started to do this back in 2018. Our founder, Rob, was on a silent eight-day retreat, and he had an encounter in front of the Eucharist, Gospel of Luke becoming a fisher of men, the calling of Simon Peter. It was so profound to him that he left his own real estate company to explore what this calling, what this actually meant to him.
Yeah.
So that was in January 2018. I unexpectedly had an encounter of my own in July of 2018 on a plane ride during a business trip and got this call to be like this artist for Jesus. And
well, just on
theme.
That, Chevy.
Yeah, sure.
Just on that, because I mean, I'm an absolute sucker for these type of things. My life is similar to yours and Rob's in that certain moments you're suddenly told to go in a certain direction. You don't understand why, but off you head. So I get it totally. Yeah. But I'm sort of fascinated because I'm a fellow survivor of these phenomena. So I'm fascinated. Let's stick with your side of it, Chevin. So you teased us there a little bit. You're on a plane heading somewhere. I mean, how do you have an encounter with the Lord on board a jumbo jet?
Prayer. I mean, I had been praying for God to reveal to me my calling. Even though the place I had worked at, I was really happy. I worked with good people. I believed in what we did. I enjoyed the type of work that I did. And then when this, something was pretty interesting was happening on this plane ride was like, I started to get this call and your first name is Kevin, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So Kevin, what was happening is I think like anytime we get a call, it's kind of similar to a call we get on our phone, meaning we could look at the call and we could deny it, or we could say we're too busy, or I don't feel like talking to this person. While this kind of encounter was happening, I would say the thing that really allowed it to work was that I allowed it to work. Even though it was a very emotional and it was kind of concerning because I'm thinking, man, I just spent 7 years at this company I was at. I plan on retiring from this. You want me to do what? You know, and it was one of those things where I just knew that it was a real encounter. And the plane lands. I talked to my wife. I called Rob, who had his encounter about 6 months previously. And then the kind of journey began of like, all right, what do we do to connect with these kids? And it's like, all right, well, let's connect with the truth of the gospel with modern storytelling.
Right. But I mean, was the arena of youth ministry, was that something that had always attracted you?
Not particularly. I've always enjoyed being around children. But being a youth minister, I was a catechist for 2 years, yet being a youth minister wasn't something that, frankly, just it wasn't on my radar. I had spent years volunteering as a Eucharistic minister, home visits, visiting cancer patients, things like that. So I was like familiar with service, but not with this specific area.
But how does this, so you have your experience on the plane and you feel called into what ultimately becomes Studio 316. When you spoke to Rob, I mean, was his sort of encounter along the same lines? Was there a direct connection immediately that you are both being pointed in the same direction?
So with Rob's encounter, he's in adoration and it was drop your nets and come catch men. And Rob was thinking to himself, like, I'm doing that for you in my current platform, in his current real estate platform. Mm-hmm. And he had this dialogue that stretched out. And needless to say, he realized that he was being called to become a fisher of men. He was calling to explore what does this next level of obedience look like? For me, I guess the similarity was I also getting that call of what does this next level of obedience look like? A collective theme was the importance, like in each of our app, you know, we talked about it. A collective theme was we got to help these kids realize why Jesus is the truth, considering everything that's competing for their hearts and minds. It's appearing as a truth. But as we know, the truth is not relative. That truth is a person. So it's like, That I would say would have been like a common bond that we were both passionate about. But it wasn't like instant, Kevin. It's not like he had this encounter and then 6 months go by, I had this encounter and we have like a conversation and was like, we got to start a Catholic media company. It was one of these things that you go to daily mass about, you go to holy hour about, and you really try to explore and be like, all right, I know this call was real. Help me, show this to me. What does this look like in my life? Like, I know that I didn't conjure that up. I know I didn't make that up. I know that was from you. I need your help to help me bring this to life. So
you have
Studio 316. Thank God, man. Yeah, full credit to the Holy Spirit. It's been a journey. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the proof of the pudding, as we say, in the sense that, yes, you can have these ideas and you take them, as you're absolutely right, you take them to prayer, discernment. Above all, ask your wife. That's a very, very good sign, Miss Shaven.
If everything
kind of lines up and it starts to happen, then yeah, you can see the Holy Spirit absolutely working in this. Just just tell me, what was the initial reaction of your wife? Was it, oh no, here he goes again? Or was it, absolutely, honey, let's do it?
It was, wow, the initial reaction. So, you know, just going back on it, that whole concept of like action and versus sitting on it, I heard someone shared with me that 2/3 of God is go. And we really try to have lived that over the last 5 years of trying to build a plane as we fly it. But my wife's first reaction, I mean, she gets me, man. I'm very thankful. From hello to I do is less than 90 days. And she knew what she was signing up for. And she was actually really supportive. I think she was, had initial concern, like my initial concern of like how we're going to provide. We don't got much saved up, like just like very practical things.
Sure.
And then leaning into the spirit of like, okay, but that call was real. I got called. Like, what do I just sit on it then and keep going about my business like that didn't happen? And she was all, she was all about it. You know, we actually went to adoration the next day and prayed about it. And it was a very gentle moment. We're sitting next to each other. And at the same time, we both turned to each other and looked at each other and nodded. It was like a very gentle, genuine yes. And that was like the cement of like, okay, this is, we're going. We need to explore this. But
well, I think that's a very, very beautiful image, if I may say, Shaven, of spousal love, but also the wonderful way in which you're supporting each other in God's calling. I think it's also a good point. You work in the media, you'll know there's a good point to break before we come back and hear what happened next, how it developed, and also how you've ended up heading to Lisbon in Portugal to sing before the Pope. That's very, very exciting. So listen, I'm in conversation with Shaven McCulloch. If you have any questions about youth ministry or anything like that, or even how to be a hip-hop star, give me a call, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2. We'll be back straight after these words. Stay tuned to the Eternity Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Back to the Charlie Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm in conversation this morning with Shaven McCulloch, who is one of the founders of Studio 316, which is a supplemental resource for Catholic elementary and middle school religion classes designed to help kids develop a closer relationship with Christ. He's also a hip-hop star. Is that right, Shaven? Are you also a bit of a hip-hop performer?
I like music, and I do like music production and songwriting, and I just tried to glorify him through whatever talent he gave me. And it just so happens to fall into the hip hop R&B sector.
You know, I really start to feel my age at this point, Shaven, because I've heard the term hip hop. I would be, if you played me it, I might be able to recognize it, but it all starts to form into one. Anyway, but listen, now, are there many Christian hip-hop artists out there? I mean, is this a genre which has many Christian devotees?
I mean, it's been getting more popular over the years. There's a big, it's a big market, and I would say that there's just multiple artists out there that are trying to bring people closer to Christ through their music and the hip hop world of things. So, yeah, I mean, I would say it's a decent size for sure. I would say like even over the last 10 to 15 years, it's really, at least I think it's kind of blossomed.
So I know you've recorded some albums of this music and so forth, but is this how you've ended up performing at World Youth Day? Is this how it happened?
So the theme of Studio 316, it's about this misguided recording artist, which would be myself, and I have the responsibility to write and perform a song that shows and promotes the truth of that Sunday's gospel reading. So that's the journey that I take the viewer on. Music is a part of our learning model at Studio 316. Music, Father Rob Gallia also evangelizes through his music. So that's we had a mutual acquaintance. Anthony was like, Father Rob evangelizes through music. Chev evangelizes through music. Y'all should connect. And we met one day over Zoom. He's in Australia. I think it's like a 16-hour time difference. Someone mentioned the idea of us collaborating and took it to prayer. And then a couple months later, you have Emmanuel Forever.
So, I mean, let me, because I know you're an actor principally, Shiv. I mean, are you sort of play in Studio 316? Are you kind? Is it a kind of persona that you have concocted?
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap. People that know me that I work day to day with, they're like, Shevin's not really acting. Like the more time he spent with me, there just happens to be a camera on. But there's a lot of overlap in me in real life and then me in a show. I would say me in the show, it's a little bit more over the top, if you can believe that, but it's a little bit more over the top with our approach because we're very intentional with being lighthearted. Because it's just more disarming when you take that approach. So in that regard, but other than that, yeah, there's a lot of similarities.
So it's more akin, I guess, to a sort of comedian on stage, or dare I even say a talk radio host. There's an element of persona, a sort of exaggerated or sense of an aspect of your personality which plays out. So that's the sort of character you're inhabiting on the Studio 316 mm-hmm. floor, right?
Yeah, so you have take John 3:16 plus Studio 3:16, or sorry, John 3:16 plus a music studio. You get Studio 3:16. That's where I work at, and I have to write a song that shows and promotes the truth of the gospel in order for me to keep my job. So that's the tension. So it's very art driven, very musically driven, and I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up opening up and doing other things that, like you're mentioning.
It's kind of interesting because it's almost sort of avant-garde what you're doing here, isn't it? I mean, you're kind of creating a persona within a framework with some of you, some of not you, to create something. But that's really interesting. Now, for anybody out there, and I'm sure there's somebody, we get listeners of all stripes, John 3:16, what's all that about, Shivan?
Well, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and shall have eternal life. So it's our mission at CrossBoss Media to provide children a genuinely entertaining, secure place to encounter Christ in a way that inspires action. It's helping us too, but helping the listener, the viewer, specifically second through eighth graders, realize Jesus is real. He died for you. He's available. He will fulfill you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will love you. So that was like, that's very foundational. It's like a cornerstone.
Sure.
To everything that we've built and how we live our own life as well. You know, it's not like we can't put on a persona when the camera's on. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, Kevin, you can't share what you don't have, you know? So it's really been an eye opener of how much we've had to hold ourselves accountable in our own faith journey, considering the type of work that we're doing.
I totally agree. And I would say, I mean, I'm sure you'd agree, Shivan, that anybody involved in the creative sphere, you really feel the need of the Holy Spirit in that endeavor, because very quickly you run out of your own resources. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. Well, then you'll end up creating something that won't necessarily be glorifying God. And that's right. Why we created this. Like, we didn't create entertainment for the sake of entertainment. We created entertainment for the sake of formation.
Yeah.
If what we're doing is a gigantic financial success and it does not lead kids closer to Christ, it's a failure. We've come up short. And so it's like we're not having one at the expense of the other. It's like, no, we have to bring these kids closer to Christ in a way that's modern, engaging, and relevant. So
Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that. Now, Studio 316 is the parent company for that is CrossBoss Media. Is CrossBoss Media then an endeavor which is broader than just 316? It's looking at other ventures, perhaps other media?
Maybe one day you have Archangel Radio on it. Yes, like CrossBoss Media would be the parent company. Our first endeavor would be primary is Studio 316, and then eventually we want to have a variety of products or services that point to Christ.
Very good. Now, John 316, I don't know what it's like in the States, but over here in Europe, football matches, sports events, you always see somebody standing there with John 316 banners. And it's a very sort of evangelical thing. I wouldn't say it's the first thing that a lot of Catholics reach for. Nothing wrong with it, but not the first thing that they would reach for. But you're a Catholic convert, I read. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. In 2009, I joined the church.
And did you come from an evangelical background, Shivan?
No, we didn't really go to church as a family growing up. Didn't go to mass. That was kind of unfamiliar. I did go to a Protestant church when I was a kid, and then I stopped going around 13. And then around the age of 28, I started going to a non-denominational church. And frankly, I really enjoyed it. And I talked to the pastor, but I was just transparent. I was like, something's picking at me to become Catholic. And I explored it and prayed about it. And then it was like, I was baffled when I was like, Catholicism traces back to Jesus? It was so huge to me, in many ways. Sometimes I'm about as sharp as a bag of hair, so I could be a little late to the game, but what I'm learning that and praying on it. And then I was at peace with joining the church.
That's wonderful. Now, you've gone from becoming Catholic to now about to perform in front of the Pope on a huge stage, which is World Youth Day. Have you been to a World Youth Day before, Shivan?
This is my first. If you got any advice, I'm listening.
Well, listen, when I was a youth, which is a few years ago, I went to two. I went to one in Paris and one in Rome. And the one in Rome had the greatest amount of humanity ever accumulated on the continent of Europe.
In one spot, right?
The French one, let me just tell you about the final mass there, which was in a racecourse ground. And racecourses, it can be very expansive, right? So you can have a lot of people in these grounds. So many people were not only in the ground but heading to the ground that the French military had to be deployed to stop people going to hear John Paul II speak. We were talking millions of people heading there. Now, this was in the face of all the French secularists who said, nobody will turn up to hear this Pope. And they had to call out the military and helicopters above us to keep people away from them. So you're going to be performing in front of a huge audience and an even bigger global stage through media, through camera, all the rest of it. So no pressure, Shivan, really.
That's great. Hey, you know what? I'll go about it like I do my day. I'll pray for an hour. I'll pray the rosary. I'll go to mass. And then it's like, all right, I'm locked in. I did those things first, and then I'll just like, all right, God, it's on you at this point. But it's like really, yeah. Just and then at that time, just be present, at least try to be.
But Shivan, the audience is going to be so huge, you won't even notice it. Do you know what it's like? If you've ever performed in front of say 30 people, it's much tougher than in front of 30,000 that you can't see. Right. So hundreds of thousands of people. It's no problem. But listen, how did you and Father, you and Father Bob, have you been rehearsing? Have you been working this out for months? Were you sort of given the nod last year? How does it sort of work that you end up performing in front of the Pope? Presumably you didn't get a call last night or anything.
Right. when he and I performed together, that'll be the first time we performed on stage. Be during this performance because
Wait a minute, Shivan. Yeah. I thought for a moment there you said that you and Father Bob had never performed together before this monumental event.
That's accurate. I'm not embellishing. We have not performed together. We will be performing it. Maybe like a sound check or something. Like we'll be like, hey, we should probably.
I think that's a good idea. At least, Shaven, at least try the sound check route. Okay. But anyway, sorry, keep going. So you and Father Bob, how does it come about? And is Father Bob worried or is he's not bothered either? It's in between hearing confessions and saying mass. He'll just perform in front of millions of people.
This is what he does. So he has a pretty strong international reach. And he actually has a number of performances World Youth Day. When we created the song Emmanuel Forever, he also saw a concert footage that got out. I did a surprise concert for a group of a little over 1,000 middle schoolers, and right, they went bananas. Thanks be to God. Like, it was just a very glorifying moment. Mm-hmm. It was electric, lots of enthusiasm. So he likes how this song turns out. He sees the impact in real time of what this resource is doing, Studio 316, and then just getting to know him over email, him once a month, but he asked to perform with him. So that's how we got the invitation.
Wow. I'm getting nervous. I don't know about you, Shin.
Talking to you, I'm good. Yeah, I got to tell you, that observation of performing in a living room with 10 people versus performing at that place for 1,200, you're right. The nerves that can hit you, maybe because it's so intimate, it almost feels like that moment's more fragile. But totally. Yeah, but this is a sea of people, so we'll see. Maybe I'll crowd surf. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen.
I look forward to watching that. But listen, presumably your good lady wife is going to be there to watch all of this.
You know what? Our son is 3, and it's disheartening. Yeah, man, it was like, and I have a hard time. Our house is 1,400 square feet. I have a hard time finding the bathroom in my house, and I was thinking, how am I going to try to keep track of my wife and son?
Yeah.
And that whole, the 12-hour flight. And I was like, it was tough, but
she'll
God
watch
willing,
it on TV.
This will be first of many. Yeah.
She'll watch it on TV. There'll be nobody prouder. But presumably your business partner, Rob, he's going with you, is he?
Yes, correct. Yep. Our head of Rob's coming. Our head of operations, Rob, is actually bringing a couple of his family members. And then a guy that does a lot of our mixing and mastering and video work will be with us as well.
Now, I know Rob is an entrepreneur, but can I give you and Rob a little piece of friendly advice?
I'll bring it.
You know, after you've finished, I suggest that Rob puts the hat around the crowd, because you got about 1 million people there. If they all throw in $1, you'll make a fortune.
That's great. I like your sense of humor, and I'm hearing the accent. Is that Nebraska?
Well, it's a little bit further east. It's from Ireland originally, so
Nebraska,
Ireland. We have a different brand of cowboy over there, but it's a similar type of setup. But all joking aside, Shaven, I mean, this is going to, I mean, your profile, Studio 316's profile, certainly within the U.S. church, if not further afield, it's going to go on to a different level, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what God wants, you know. He set out to do this 5 years ago. It's like, I want to do what you want me to do, and we want the result to be what you want it to be. So if that's what God wants, I'm in.
I love it. I love it. I'm sure somebody said to you, they said it to me when I set out on my journey. Somebody said to me, Kevin, for God to act, you've got to get out of the boat. Did somebody say that to you, Shaven?
In more words or less, going back to that 2/3 of God is go, is like getting out of your comfort zone. Don't have the paralysis by analysis. Don't think yourself out of doing something. Like, you have to be able to put yourself out there and get into uncharted water. I heard the other day that a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Going back to the whole boat analogy, there might be something there. But yeah, man, you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. And it's very difficult, by the way. Like, I know I've been doing this for the last 5 years, Kevin, but you definitely have your challenges and struggles and things that you need to work through. But at the end of the day, it's like, I got to show up. Like, Shev, at least show up. Show up and then trust God and then take it from there. but at least show up.
Absolutely. No. I hear this so often with Catholic creatives. It's the same. The other thing is that only Catholic creatives, I think, know how, you know, the dark night of the soul exists very much when it comes to Catholic creatives. But we'll not go into that on a Monday morning. We don't want to send anybody too far down. Listen, it's been great speaking to you, Shevin, before international global celebrity hits after World Youth Day. I can't believe I'm speaking to somebody who's performing at it. But listen, tell people where they can find out more about Studio 316, also more about you, and also how they can possibly tune in to World Youth Day and find out and watch this performance, this epoch-making performance.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to spend time with you and get to know you and share a little bit about my journey and our story. It's been awesome. If people want to know about Studio 316, www.studio316.com. Everything will be housed there. Performance schedule, Studio 316, I'll just have them go there.
Absolutely. And just to say, I looked at your website this morning. It's great. The only thing I will say is make sure you put in Studio 3:16, because I ended up with 316. There's a lot of 316s out there, Shevin, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you go. So the other thing is put in Shevin McCulloch and you will find any amount of material, especially on YouTube. I was very, very impressed with your videos. I found them very amusing. Just right for a Monday morning. Shevin, it's been a great pleasure having you on the show. We're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet now. That's what we do in the next segment. And I'd like to pray for you and for Rob and for everybody at Studio 316, but I'd also like to pray for your wife and your three-year-old child as well.
Thank you. That's so thoughtful. Thank you so much.
And we're also going to pray that in the true theater lingo that you break a leg on August 4th.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the prayers. Wish me luck.
Okay. That was Shevin McCulloch from Studio 316. And next stop, His Holiness Pope Francis. Okay, when we come back, we'll be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency.